Hello, I'm Lina Ahmoudou. Welcome to Health Chat. The World Health Organization is sounding the alarm on a global cholera outbreak. Over 4,000 people worldwide die from cholera, according to the WHO, which says there was an increase in cases and death in 2023. WHO Director General Tedros Ghebreyesus says the global cholera crisis is continuing, with 22 countries now reporting active outbreaks. Maureen Ojambo reports.
Data from the World Health Organization indicates that the number of reported cholera cases increased by 13%, while deaths by 71% in 2023 compared to 2022. Countries like Afghanistan, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Malawi, and Somalia are still reporting the largest number of outbreaks of over 10,000 suspected and confirmed cases. Other countries with the highest number of cholera cases in 2023 are Ethiopia, Haiti, Mozambique, and Zimbabwe. Speaking virtually during a media briefing on the global health issues, WHO Director General Tedros Ghebreyesus said, despite the lower number of cholera cases in 2024, there have been at least 342,800 cases and 2,400 cholera deaths reported to WHO across the world as of August 22nd.
Cholera kills 4,000 people a year, a disease that's preventable and easily treatable. Conflict, climate change, unsafe water and sanitation, poverty and displacement all contributed to the rise in cholera outbreaks last year. The geographical distribution of cholera also changed significantly, with cases from the Middle East and Asia declining by one-third and cases from Africa more than doubling.
The WHO report indicates that children under the age of 5 accounted for 38% of cholera cases globally. Ghebreyesus says, as a way of addressing vaccine shortages, the International Coordination Group, which manages emergency vaccine supplies, has since October 2022 suspended the standard cholera two-dose vaccination routine and adopted a single dose to reach more people.
The global cholera crisis has caused a severe shortage of cholera vaccines. Between 2021 and 2023, more doses were requested for outbreak response than the entire previous decade. About 36 million doses were produced last year, only half the amount requested by 14 affected countries.
There was a 125% increase in cholera cases in Africa, with many countries reporting a high number of community deaths, an indication that there are gaps in access to treatment on the continent. Felipe Barbosa is the technical team lead of the cholera program at the World Health Organization.
In Africa, the surveillance system and the way that the country are reporting cases is, I would say, much more similar with one another. And in addition, there are a number of countries that should be praised for doing that, that are also reporting the cases and the deaths.
The WHO considers the global risk from cholera as very high and is responding with urgency to reduce deaths and contain outbreaks around the world. This is the first year that multiple countries have reported deaths from cholera, which occurred outside of health facilities known as community deaths. In 5 out of 13 reporting countries, over a third of cholera deaths occurred in the community. The WHO says its appeal for $50 million to respond to cholera outbreaks this year remains unmet. For VOA Africa, I am Maureen Ojambo in San Francisco.
China's naval hospital ship, the Peace Ark, is on a 13-nation tour of mostly African countries, providing free health care for locals and expanding Beijing's soft power influence. Over the past week, it was docked off the coast of South Africa, where the Western Cape province is experiencing an 80,000 backlog in surgeries. Vicky Stark reports.
More than 3,000 people took advantage of the free medical care offered by the Chinese naval hospital ship, the Peace Ark, while it docked in Cape Town's Table Bay Harbour for a week.
I found about the ship on social media and on the radio as well. And I think it's a good thing that they came here to help us, because our government, I don't think they are doing enough for health issues.
Only 16% of South Africans can afford private health care. Most South Africans go to government-funded facilities that are often under-resourced and where there is a backlog of patients who need surgeries. On board, members of the South African Military Health Services worked with more than 100 of the ship's staff. Nurses and doctors from the ship also worked at several government hospitals in Cape Town on procedures such as cataract operations, says South African military's Chinondiwa Esther Mohale.
We know that everything is very costly, and to actually afford a medical aid cover for some people, it's a dream that they couldn't reach.
During the visit, a number of surgeries were carried out, but they made a small dent in the thousands of backlogged cases. Nokwanda Mdaweni came to the ship for help with her acne.
The service they've been offering has been good, excellent. Short period of time that we have to wait, so the queues are moving very fast.
Besides Western medicine, doctors also offer traditional Chinese medicine. The ship has been providing medical care since 2010. Some analysts see the ship as part of China's competition with the U.S. for influence in Africa and a way of countering allegations from Washington and rights organizations about China's human rights abuses. The larger goal is to win hearts and minds in the court of public opinion, says analyst for the Institute for Security Studies, Peter Fabricius.
It is part of soft power, and soft power was sometimes also called hearts and minds, you know, when the military uses non-lethal means of trying to win over support to their cause. So, yeah, it's quite effective.
Leo Pongyu, spokesperson for the Chinese embassy in Washington, says it's about helping others. The Peace Ark hospital ship visited many African countries to bring health to people in need of help. The relevant actions are an important part of China-Africa health cooperation and also reflect China's active fulfillment of international humanitarian obligations. The hospital ship's next stop is Angola. Vicky Stark, VOA News, Cape Town, South Africa.
International health officials say as mpox cases spread across the Democratic Republic of Congo and a number of other countries in Africa, governments are stepping up measures to respond to the unprecedented surge of the epidemic. From the Kenyan capital, Nairobi, Ruben Kiama reports.
Speaking during an online news briefing late Friday, experts from the World Health Organization and the Africa Centers for Disease Control and Prevention outlined a comprehensive response plan to contain the mpox outbreak. Matshidiso Moeti from Botswana is the WHO Regional Director for Africa.
Following the declaration of mpox as a public health emergency of international concern by WHO and a public health emergency of continental security by the Africa CDC, we are already working to scale up the operational response in affected countries, deploying some resources and experts close to the affected communities.
Moeti provided details on the operations.
In the DRC, we are intensifying our support and established in Goma an operational hub. We've been able to procure more than $1 million worth of key medical supplies that we are providing in the country. And we have mobilized and deployed our existing staff in the country, about 400 field staff already in the country, to support the key aspects of the response of what government is doing.
Last month, the WHO declared mpox a public health emergency of international concern due to the rapid spread of the epidemic. The outbreak is concentrated in the Democratic Republic of Congo, but the virus has also spread further across several other African countries. On Friday, Kenya reported its fifth case of mpox. Mary Mudhoni is the principal secretary for the Kenya Ministry of Health.
It was involving a 29-year-old female from Mombasa. The patient is currently in isolation. So while the patient has no recent travel history to a country reporting mpox case, the spouse had recently traveled to Rwanda. In the last 24 hours, we have screened more than 17,000 people at all ports of entry in Kenya.
The UN Children's Fund, UNICEF, says thousands of children in the Democratic Republic of Congo and neighboring countries are at significant risk of contracting the mpox virus as cases continue to surge. Since the start of 2024, DRC has reported over 5,000 confirmed mpox cases, with more than 635 associated deaths, the Africa CDC reports. However, experts say the actual numbers could be higher. The Africa CDC is the public health agency of the African Union. Confirmed mpox cases have been detected in several countries, including Burundi, Rwanda, Uganda, Kenya, and South Africa. Cases have also been found recently in Sweden and Thailand. The patients had recently traveled to Africa. Yesterday, DRC received the first shipment of 99,100 doses of mpox vaccine from the European Union and is expected to kick off a vaccination campaign aimed at curbing the rising epidemic. Africa CDC officials say an additional 100,900 doses are expected on Saturday. Previously known as monkeypox, mpox is an infectious disease caused by a virus transmitted from animals to humans, with cases often found close to tropical rainforests where there are animals that carry the virus. Ruben Chama, VOA News, Nairobi.
As the newly highly contagious strain of mpox spreads across the world, experts say some skeptics are spreading misinformation.
A new, highly contagious and severe strain of mpox virus, formerly known as monkeypox, is spreading across the globe following a major outbreak in Africa. Clade 1B, a new variant of Clade 1, first reported last September among sex workers in the mining town of Kamituga, the Democratic Republic of Congo, has now mutated, affecting children younger than 15. On August 14th, the World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control and Prevention declared mpox a global public health emergency for the second time in 2 years after it spread to Congo's neighboring countries, which had no previous record of mpox cases. Ex-influencer Erica Munga, commonly known as Amerix, accused the WHO of being a criminal organization and asked his 1.9 million followers to shun the safety guidelines it issued. Monkeypox is a scam. Don't comply. Refuse. Pfizer wants to clear its COVID-19 vaccine stocks after people shunned them. Africa's corrupt political establishment wants to divert the boiling Gen Z rebellion. Mpox is another scam by WHO crook. That is false. Mpox has killed 517 and infected 17,000 this year alone, the African CDC reported. COVID-19 vaccines do not apply to mpox prevention. A smallpox genius vaccine, developed by the Danish company Bavarian Nordic, is used to protect against the mpox virus. The mpox virus was discovered in 1958 in a colony of monkeys. The first case of human infection was recorded in 1970 in the Democratic Republic of Congo. While thoroughly false, Amunga's call of no compliance with the WHO mpox recommendations and his betrayal of the vaccine as a scam are part of a viral global trend on X involving thousands of anti-vaxxers and reaching millions of users.
Turning now to malaria, African researchers are concerned about the resistance of malaria parasites to anti-malarial drugs. A team of specialists from the Pathogen Genomic Diversity Network of Africa, PDNA, is working on this issue through research to better understand the phenomenon and how to address it. VOA's Alexandrine Holognon spoke with Professor Abdoulaye Djemde, a Mali-based malaria researcher and the president of PDNA. He explains the significance of the research.
It's estimated that over 1,000 children die every day from malaria in Africa, and there are fears that the death rate could rise. Artemisinin combination therapies, or ACTs, have been the cornerstone of malaria treatment for 20 years. But there are worrying signs that they are becoming less effective, says report co-author Lorenz von Seidlin of the Mahidol Oxford Tropical Medicine Research Unit in Bangkok.
We have increasing reports from Eastern Africa saying that they have documented resistance against the first-line treatments against malaria.
Artemisinin-resistant mutations have been detected in more than 10% of malaria cases in Ethiopia, Eritrea, Rwanda, Uganda, and Tanzania. Before artemisinin, chloroquine was the most widely used medicine to treat malaria. The report authors note that in the 1990s and early 2000s, signs that the malaria parasite was developing resistance to chloroquine were widely ignored.
When the chloroquine resistance slowly sneaked into Africa, there was a whole wave of childhood mortality followed by it. So really a large number of children, probably in the millions, died because chloroquine didn't work as well as it used to do. And now we see these first signs that something similar is happening with the ACTs. And that is, of course, very worrying.
The paper, published in the journal Science, urges policymakers and global funding bodies to act now to prevent artemisinin resistance taking hold. Their recommendations include combining artemisinin drugs with other medicines in so-called triple artemisinin combination therapies, the rollout of new, more effective insecticides and mosquito nets, better training of community health workers, the rapid deployment of new malaria vaccines and better monitoring. Von Seidlin says many of these methods have been used to halt the spread of artemisinin resistance in Southeast Asia over the past decade.
Ultimately, there was an understanding that this could be a major health emergency globally. And so there were a lot of investments from funders from high-income countries towards these countries in the greater Mekong sub-region to stop the spread of artemisinin-resistant parasites.
Scientists say that sense of urgency must now be applied to tackling artemisinin resistance in Africa. Henry Ridgewell, VOA News, Bangkok.
That was Henry Ridgewell reporting. You are listening to Health Chat on Voice of America. It's time for a short break. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Health Chat. One in four young women aged between 20 and 24 years in sub-Saharan Africa have been physically, sexually, or psychologically abused by a partner. This is according to the World Health Organization. Now, a regional campaign supported by the UN Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, UNESCO, to create awareness about gender-based violence, GBV, at universities is gaining momentum. From the Kenyan capital, Nairobi, Ruben Kama reports.
Launched in March this year, the campaign dubbed Safer Campuses seeks to end violence against women in higher education institutions in East and Southern Africa. Remy Shawa is a senior program officer at UNESCO's Regional Office for Southern Africa.
Know that we have high incidences of gender-based violence and other forms of violence among students in higher education and tertiary institutions. In fact, one in four young women aged 20 to 24 years old in sub-Saharan Africa have been physically, sexually, or psychologically abused by a partner.
The campaign has been running in six African countries, including Zambia, Zimbabwe, Kenya, Tanzania, Namibia, and Uganda. Tinashe Chitunhu works with a non-governmental organization in Zimbabwe called Musasa that focuses on ending violence against women in the Southern African country.
In regards to violence against students at tertiary institutions, the trends that we have noted is that girls and boys at varsity experience similar forms of violence, which include psychological abuse. Other students can comment on a student's appearance. It can be sexually or meant to discredit ones in a sexual manner or even in a suggestive manner.
The initiative aims to shatter the silence surrounding violence against women and girls on campuses across Eastern Southern Africa. Young women in Eastern Southern Africa are particularly vulnerable to gender-based violence, often having experienced one or multiple incidents before reaching higher education institutions. Alberta Wambua is the executive director of Gender Violence Recovery Center, a Kenyan-based charitable trust providing free comprehensive medical treatment to survivors of sexual and gender-based violence.
From April 2023 to March 2024, the center provided medical treatment and psychosocial support and access to justice to 3,749 survivors of gender-based violence. In that same period, we had 228 survivors of gender-based violence from higher education institutes of learning.
This occurs within a global context where one in three women has encountered sexual or physical abuse at least once in their lifetime. UNESCO says the campaign will use various elements and channels to encourage students to break the silence and take action against all forms of gender-based violence. Remy Shawa explains.
But despite all these high numbers, we know that there could be more as reporting is low. Cultural and societal behavioral norms can make gender-based violence to be acceptable or endorsed or tolerated, and it can make it difficult for survivors to report and to seek justice. And additionally, there is that stigma that comes with gender-based violence.
The Safer Campuses campaign aims at engaging all tertiary education players, including government ministries, administrators, parents, and students, to act and work towards ending all forms of violence against women and girls by breaking the silence on this disturbing issue. Ruben Chama, VOA News, Nairobi.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Families in eastern Equatorial State are calling on nonprofits to provide sanitary pads to girls from vulnerable families so they don't miss school during the period. Some parents say they have no money to buy pads for their daughters in school. Kaltuma Vanessa Files from Turret.
Many girls say they are not able to focus on studies in school because they worry about their menstrual cycle and the lack of hygiene products. Elizabeth Alfred Oswaldo, a student in Father Saturnino Senior Secondary School, says sanitary pads are very expensive for some parents.
We cannot manage to afford these sanitary pads. Sometimes, like some of us who came from the poor families, you finally say, "Mom, I have a problem, this said. Now, how can I manage it? Before even we grew up, we are not having those things. And who am I to go and afford those things? Why don't you use maybe a piece of cloth?"
Student Akanyo Molly Thomas says she uses pieces of clothes during her monthly period.
For me, I used to put DC anger seat, like the one of blanket, because that time when we are in the village, no, even always, even I doesn't know, because since 2014, I've been using that clothes. I'm not comfortable because I can sit few minutes, very fast I can run in the toilet and I check, then I come back. Always a man, it is very intensive. That's why my mother and I was using a piece of clothes.
Sikuku Rose Kasmiro, Chief Inspector of Education in Kapweta Municipality, says many communities in Eastern Equatoria needs awareness about menstruation. She says some communities see it as a taboo and isolate the girls during their menstrual cycles.
If you
just see a cow disappearing for one full week, you know very well maybe she's experiencing a problem. Also, the discrimination related to menstrual or period. We have other communities say that when a cow is menstruating, which means she's 30, they just isolate her from other people. You will find that when they are experiencing that period there, they just isolate these girls maybe in a certain room. They don't allow them to come out. Then we have also another challenge regarding disposal facilities. We find that these girls here, when they are changing those parts, we have other schools where we don't have latrine. Also, economic barrier. What is happening now in South Sudan, very, very hard even to get just maybe a coin so that you prepare your daughter to go to school.
UNICEF says around the world, menstrual health and hygiene needs are being overlooked due to limited access to information, education, products and services, as well as inadequate facilities and inequalities. In South Sudan, there are several groups and initiatives that are working to increase access to sanitary pads and improve menstrual hygiene management. For VOA News, I am Kaltuma Vanessa reporting from Eastern Equatoria State Capital, Torit.
Now to Zambia, where many consumers are fearful after the government found high levels of aflatoxins in the country's staple food, maize meal. Health authorities say high levels of aflatoxins pose a danger to both human and animal life, as 400 dogs are believed to have died after exposure to contaminated dog food. Kati Short reports from Lusaka.
Agnes Kasongo in Lusaka is not happy with how Zambia's government has handled the presence of aflatoxins in grain. She and her family have now resorted to eating cassava.
The way the issue is being handled by government, it's heartbreaking and very saddening. Our lives are being tampered with. So we don't know. In fear, we don't know what really is happening. Especially that there are other small shops that already ordered maize, ordered millimeal from the millers. The government should just clean the whole nation.
Zambia's government last week announced hundreds of dogs may have died from aflatoxin poisoning from contaminated maize. Maize or millimeal is a staple food for Zambians. Health Minister Elijah Muchima says no human deaths have been reported from maize contamination. At a recent news conference in Lusaka, Muchima said that approximately half of the 25 samples taken from milling companies were found to contain very high levels of aflatoxins.
Aflatoxins are toxic compounds produced by certain molds that grow in soil, decaying vegetation, hay, and grains. These toxins pose a severe health risk to both humans and animals. In humans, aflatoxin exposure can lead to acute liver damage, liver cancer, immune system suppression, and other chronic health issues.
Guess Nurenda, a human rights activist, wants the government to act now.
Government should also ensure that citizens that may have been suspected to have consumed the said millimeal brands are aided with some medication to suppress the effect of this aflatoxin, or else citizens are quickly losing confidence in the leadership.
However, the executive director of the National Food and Nutrition Commission, Muntanga Mapani, told the national broadcaster that the amount of aflatoxins detected is not high enough to affect humans. The head of the National Human Rights Commission, Pamela Towela Sambo, told journalists the matter is a serious public concern. She said it is a reminder that food production businesses need to comply with safety standards.
In order to avert a public health emergency, government must immediately consider a full range of preventive and remedial measures, such as halting further distribution and instant removal from the market of the affected maize products.
According to the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization, aflatoxins can contaminate various crops, including maize, peanuts, and sorghum, especially when exposed to high humidity or drought. Zambia is experiencing its worst drought in 60 years. Health experts say the toxins can be present in food products consumed daily, but health risks only occur when the levels exceed acceptable thresholds. For VOA News, I'm Kathy Short, Lusaka, Zambia.